Hello, Grant. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, just a minute. Just like I'm just work it out. Hang on, speakers off.
That's all right. Looks like we've got you
Hang
coming
on.
through.
It's all a bit complicated. Oh, yeah, hang on a minute. That might be it. Hang on. Oh no. There we go. And let me just turn the video on. There we go.
That's all right. We're slowly going to come on ourselves. Hello, Grant.
Hey.
So
Well
we've
then, how are you
got
doing?
good, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, very well.
Excellent. It must have been a very busy few days for you.
Well, it's been pretty exciting, for God's sake. Yeah, it's been a bit of a, last week was a bit of a high point in my career, should we say?
Yeah, of course. It's been absolutely massive, man. And the response has been unbelievable, of course, as you'd expect.
Yeah, I guess I didn't quite expect it to be as big as that. Like, I thought people would get excited, but seeing some of those fan reactions was just off the scale, right? I mean, that one in a Nintendo store in New York was like incredible. I mean, I remember me and Davide went there to launch Mario Rabbids, so I know the store very well. I mean, it was it was like unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've been having to bat off all of these rumors about it as well for a long time, so I'm sure you imagined it was going to kick off.
Well, I think, I over the years, I really thought they would never do it.
Yeah,
I honestly
I thought
thought,
I honestly myself thought that was it. Never, ever.
yeah,
So
I kind of
surprised.
felt like, yeah, because I kind of felt they would have done it by now, because, Banjo's been around for a long time, and so I always used to say to people, pigs might fly. That's what I used to say that, or, dream on, it's not going to happen, but
They did
then
dream
of course,
on.
well, yeah, but then I got the kind of thing in sort of January-ish this year, so from that point onwards, I had to kind of maintain the facade of saying it was never going to happen, even though I knew it was going to happen, so that was, I felt bad about lying, but I had no choice.
No, it's exciting because as a fan, like, look, because on the day I couldn't believe it myself, and I looked back and was like, man, you have been so tight-lipped about it. It must have been really exciting. And it made it so much better because there wasn't really any leak or even any rumor, I don't think.
Even in
It was just there,
2019.
it just appeared.
Yeah. There was a few things like merchandise, things were getting sort of heated up a bit, that kind of thing, that new Banjo backpack thing and all that was coming out, but, as I said, I really think like Nintendo kept it super secret. Like, I know it was really on a need to know basis. Like, I was at the ET last week, and I went to the Nintendo with met some of the guys there, and even some of the guys there didn't know until the actual trailer.
Right, that's
Oh,
incredible.
wow. Yeah, one of the PR guys I talked to only knew found out 2 weeks ago. And I know like only a few people at Rare knew about it. It was kept very need to know, like, so it just didn't get anywhere. No, they're super secret like that. And rightly so, it was such a big kind of thing that if it got out, it would have spoilt it,
And obviously, it's really unusual for someone else to be brought in rather than an in-house guy. We've been talking about that as well.
Yeah, no, that was a bit, I didn't. I didn't. I'd realised that really until I did it, because I kind of thought surely they use loads of other guys, to do it. I didn't really think about it, and that wasn't until I looked at the kind of the Smash credit list that I noticed that they're all Japanese guys,
Yeah.
so I kind of thought, bloody hell, am I the first Western composer to do it? Like, I was talking to me to Davide and to me son the other week there, like you do, and I was sort of saying, Davide, sorry, the guy, Mario Rabbids creative director, and like, I am the. It looks like I'm the first Western composer to touch Mario and the first Western composer to get into Smash. That might not be true, but I've done a little bit of digging. It looks that way right now, and I keep thinking, how the bloody hell has that happened to me? It's like it's a bit bizarre, so it's a little bit like, how did I manage that? I don't know,
Yeah, well, I remember speaking to David Wise and asking him like how much involvement he had in his Smash Brothers tunes, and him saying no, it's all in-house and all that stuff. So yeah, it seemed like absolutely everybody just gets the in-house treatment. So you say you had no sense of that. So do you feel like that kind of helped when you were actually composing then? Like you didn't feel this extra pressure then from that?
I think sometimes I don't like revisiting old music, because I always feel that when I do it, I just make it worse. I don't make it any better. I'm not great at polishing, right? So like, usually when I write something, my first idea is my best idea. If that's not good, I'll just start again, because I'm just not very good at making things better than they already have if they're crap, so and it wasn't so I had to kind of think about what how I do it. So once I got a vision in my mind about how I thought Spiral Mountain might go, and in my mind I was thinking like a Indiana Jones, that I was thinking of that kind of that treatment off the tune, right? So once I thought about that, I thought, oh, I could do it like that. And so that's what kind of kicked it off. And like I say, I did the orchestral, but I sent Nintendo like maybe 32 bars or whatever it was at the start of it to sort of say, this is what I think it should sound like, And it was all the orchestral bit at the start. And I said, yeah, we like that, great. You know, send us the next bit. And then I put the banjo bit in, like the bit. That, and then I said, oh, well, we think that the banjo bit should go at the start and the orchestral bit should go at the end, which is kind of contrary to the advice they gave me when I first got the kind of PowerPoint document, which kind of said, big start, big intro, hit them with a theme, drop it down towards the end, loop it round, back up again. That's how all the smash tunes go. But when they heard mine, they said, oh, we like it in the quiet bit at the start, make it small, not a lot of reverb, keep it really dry. And they kept getting me to make it drier and drier and drier. And then at the end of it, go completely epic and wild. And like, that was also kind of contrary to the document. The document sort of said, you don't go crazy, it gets in the way of the sound effects. And so I was like, oh, so really, they completely contradicted what they sent me, which was very flattering to me if they liked my stuff, to the way it sounded. And I think they sort of also said, we don't think anything else in Smash sounds like this. So it's quite a good way to do it. It's different. It makes the music different to the other tunes. Having a new character makes it a bit more special. And, you know, so it kind of worked a bit like that. And they were super nice to me, like the Nintendo guys. And, you know, I didn't actually get to speak to Sakurai directly because he's not great at English. So it all comes back through Nintendo as a middleman, because they've got like lots of great English speaking guys. And so it came back like that. But I mean, very little. They were super easy to work with, super nice. You know, so we think that's great. Maybe can you change that a little bit? You know, a little bit. It was mostly things like, can you add in maybe a counter melody, or could you maybe make it a bit, the reverb a bit less? It wasn't so much the kind of the form of it all. You know, they were super nice.
It's interesting it went back and forth that much.
Yeah, it sounds like they really did throw out the rule book for you, Grant.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm obviously I'm massively flattered that you chose to ask me in the first place, and it seemed to like treat me with a little bit of reverence. It was the big weird, you know. I don't feel like I should be treated with any reverence whatsoever, you know. So that was a bit odd. But they were just nice, and I think that the way they presented it to me was they sort of seemed to be genuinely happy that I was doing it, and they kind of felt like they couldn't do it without me. And right. You know, so it was just super nice. You know, I was very flattered. It really was.
Yeah, that's sweet. And obviously, you must be super busy at the moment, because if I'm not wrong, you've got some stuff going on the new ukulele game as well.
Well, yeah, but I did that a while ago, right? So, I must have done that before Christmas. I think I must have done the bulk of it before Christmas last year. Right. And then I did one more tune. I think maybe it was back end of last year, maybe early this year. So that was done a while ago. You know, games are always, you know, you get the music done way before the end of the game, you know, usually. Because you have to go through testing and all that, you know. So, I think that's coming out, I'm not sure, well, this year, I'm not sure when, I guess back end of this year that'll be out.
Right.
But, you know, it looks great, plays great, you know, I really feel they've got a winner on their hands, I really do.
I'm a huge old school fan, so I'm really looking forward to that. We've had a question through in the chat, which I doubt you can answer, but we'll throw it at you anyway, just in case. Someone's asked if to the level of whether there's much more of your actual music in the game or whether there's other remixes. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to talk about that.
Well, I guess I can. I haven't heard anything apart from my own piece. But obviously there's going to be remixes in other remixes for definitely. They can't have the banjo on just one piece, right? So it makes sense that there are other pieces in the game.
Of course,
I just haven't heard them. I don't know who's done them. I haven't heard them. They did ask me for a couple of original ways from the original game. I don't know if that was a reference or I don't know. So I really, honestly, hand on heart, and I'm not lying.
No, I haven't heard
I haven't heard a single note of anybody else's. And in the doc they send, they like to keep the Smash composers very separate, so not even the guys that are doing the remixes know what the other remixes are doing. So They say, don't talk to anybody else about it. Just do your own thing. Talk to us. You know, so it's Nintendo. Like, you know, I've got a very exacting way. They've done it for years, so they know how it works best.
Yeah.
So I really honestly haven't heard a note by anybody else. But there must be other stuff in it. It has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's going to be really fun to hear.
Maybe it could be the in-house guys riffing off what you laid for them. You know, you said they needed you.
Yeah, no. You don't know, right? So, I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing it, really. It's going to be exciting to hear, you know, because regardless whether who remixes it, I still wrote it. So
yeah, of
I'm
course.
Still going to have a number of pieces of music in Smash, which is, for me, is just amazing. My son plays it to death, so he's going to be super excited, you know. So, it's been, you know, someone said to me, like, you know, career highlights, and, like, I think, honestly, like, Mario Rabbids and doing this has been so big for me just personally, because, like, you know, getting to touch Mario is unbelievable. And getting to get a piece of music in Smash is also unbelievable. You know, I mean, even though, like, making the game banjo game in the first place, you know, back in those days, there was no internet. There was no instant feedback from people whether they loved it or hated it. You know, So you get that thing where you get that instant Twitter discourse ballistic for like, you know, a week, you know, people going crazy over it. And so it's different now. You really get to feel what the fans think of it rather than waiting for some kind of magazine review, which back in 1995, you waited for N64 magazine to come out, whatever it was, or IGN to review the game a month later and you see whether they liked it or not. You had no idea how it's going to go, you know, but here it's instant, you know. Within 10 seconds, my Twitter went ballistic, you know.
Absolutely.
So I think that you really get that instant sense of people loving it or hating it, you know.
Yeah.
Did when they told you they were did they tell you they were releasing the news on the day, or was it you open your Twitter and see thousands and thousands of you know, people loving it, or did you get braced and crack a beer and was like, okay, T minus 5 minutes?
Well, it was 9 a.m. here, so it's a bit early for beer.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Orange juice.
Yeah. Orange juice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I knew it was going to be announced on that Nintendo Direct. I knew that. And the, I said, what can I tweet out straight away? You know, and they sort of said to me, yeah, that's fine. But sorry, no, she said to me, please send us what you're going to tweet. And I did that little video. I said, please send us a video so we can kind of okay it. Because, you know, they have it very organized in a very, you know, set manner in Nintendo. Mm. So I knew what I was going to tweet. I knew what they were going to tweet. And they knew what the video that I had done. But they said, you can't tweet out until it's officially on the Smash website. So the direct started at like 9, and I guess like 9:40, 45, whatever it was, they kind of did the banjo thing. Mm. And then my Twitter went ballistic. And I had to sit there and not reply to anybody for like two hours. I had to wait till 11 o'clock until it was on the Smash site. And I got the okay from the Nintendo the guy at Nintendo that I was working with in Nintendo America. And he said, you're right, you can tweet it out now. And I did it, and then they tweeted it out as well on Nintendo America, on their Twitter. But I just had to sit there and kind of not answer. People were going, who's done the music? What's going on? Grab super quiet. And I was there. I was just bursting to go, I did it, you know, like that. You know. So like it was good. Also, I got to watch it and I'll go past. But I just wanted to get right on it and I couldn't, I had to wait, you know.
Yeah, well, I was loving it even as a fan. And if we're not taking up too much of your time, we've got three more questions in the chat and then we can leave it there.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, no worries.
So someone's asked how you feel about Nintendo's remix of the DK rap.
It's good. I mean, you know, it's better than mine, for God's sake. I mean, mine's the worst of the worst, right? So anything's better than that.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, that was actually my first time hearing it, because unfortunately I never owned an N64 back in the day, so I never got to play DK64, so it was always my first one. But I love your version because it just sounds so old school now, and like it has that Run DMC sound.
That's basically, it's bloody old, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah, true.
Because I'm bloody old. Like, you know, it's that thing where, yeah, I mean, you know, anybody that does the DK rap between then and now, it's bound to be better because everything's better than it was then, right? I just had crappy samples and all that, you know. I did my best.
You can't beat the original. You can't beat the original.
No, well, it's Grant himself playing guitar, right? If I remember rightly.
Yes, yeah, so yeah, I'm on that. So my bloody phone's gone a bit funny. There we are.
That's okay.
I'm back on.
Hey. Actually, we're having a look at your mug, I think, now.
Oh, for God's sake.
Grant's coffee.
I know, it's too complicated. Where's the turnaround thing?
There's an exclusive. Sorry,
I've got one of those bloody Ring doorbells. It just went off and it just made it all go funny.
That's all right. You don't have to go or anything, do you? Because I don't want to hold you up, of course.
No, not at all.
All right.
That question.
Nintendo stuff's brilliant, always.
Yeah, it always is, yeah.
That question was from your fan, Redial.
Yeah, yeah, he's been in here from the start of the show
he's been buzzing.
Hello, Mr. Redial.
So we've also had from Lumion Games has asked if there was a particular game or soundtrack that was a unique challenge that you remember fondly. Interesting question, I thought.
Or not so fondly
is also put.
Yeah, I've been lucky to work on stuff that I've always really liked, I think, really. I've not had much that I haven't thought was any good. I did do that Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z, which is a pretty terrible game. and I had to do like a full synth soundtrack for that. I hadn't done synth for a little while at that point. It was like 2012, I'm guessing, or 13, somewhere around there. So that was good fun. I really enjoyed it. I hadn't done it for a while, so it's kind of good to get back in the synths again and mess around with those.
Right, that's interesting.
Nothing that I've really done that I think that I found super different. Like, I mean, I suppose you really like doing GoldenEye right at the start. Like, I've never done a game before, you know. And so I had to get straight on that and work on it and go, how the bloody I didn't even know how the stuff worked. Never mind writing music. I had no idea how the kit worked. How to make anything work, you know. So it was challenging, but it was great fun, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely one of your more electronic ones, GoldenEye, as well. That's what I had in mind, as sticking out as a little bit different.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like when I first started, that was the way things were. It was a bit like that kind of synth orchestra hybrid. So you used orchestra like strings and stuff, as well as synthy stuff, you know. So, and I guess that suited my background. I was more rocky, you know. You know, kind of. So I didn't really get to the proper orchestra stuff till a bit later.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it was challenging to try and get it to work. I mean, God Almighty, I'm surprised it even still bloody works to this day.
Well, the last question we had from a regular listener was how much nostalgia you actually have for your old work? Like, do you have much nostalgic feelings going back to something like Spiral Mountain?
Oh, my God. I was in floods of tears when they did the video thing on last week, you know. Absolutely. I mean, like, even though I'd seen the fight background, but I hadn't seen Banjo on it. Because they sent me a video of, like, the characters on Spiral Mountain fighting, but not Banjo. And so I'd seen that. But I mean, you know, that reveal video, I hadn't seen that either. So I saw it fresh like everybody else. And, you know, it was, you know, I was in floods of tears like everybody. I really was when he first comes down. It was a perfect reveal. Nintendo do that stuff so well. It's up in it. And it's, you know, the whole thing with the duck hunt and all. I know the King K. Rool was the same way, but I just feel like it was perfect. And when, you know, I'm seeing people's reaction when Banjo lands and you get Banjo's ready to go. I mean, I went as crazy as everybody else and I knew it was coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, absolutely, just I don't know. And you run out of superlatives, really. You kind of go, those are like once in a lifetime events. I think you get like I said to someone else before, like when you see people completely lose control with happiness, like, and you know, it's such a raw human emotion that I think it touches everybody on a human level. Like watching people get so massively excited at the reveal and on the videos and getting just crying and laughing at the same time. And it's, you know, I find that genuinely touching that, you know. I was the same way, and seeing people feel like that, it's just the nicest thing in the world, you know.
I think Nintendo have quite a way about them that really does reach out and, you know, grab the fans of their console more so than any of the others. You know, they really have a heart, homely, family feel. And they really do, you know, doth the cap to the fans and the creators of their games.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
no, everything, that's everyone fine. Involved.
Yeah, I was in the shower this morning. I was thinking that exact thought. You know, in the shower, you have these thoughts, right? I was thinking there's something special about Nintendo. They just, it's not the fan devotion doesn't seem to be the same to Microsoft or to Sony. I mean, to the games, maybe, but not to the actual company. I feel like Nintendo itself has that bond with the fans, it's so different to everybody else. You know, this real Nintendo fanboy, fangirl, you know, thing going on, you know, I, it's hard to quantify why it is, or it just seems to be, it's like putting on your favorite pair of slippers when you go home, and you know, it's like that, and it's like, that's got that, like that coming home thing. It is bizarre. I think you do really feel that with Nintendo, and it's just something they seem to nurture. I don't know if it's intentional, just the way they are, but it's that cultural thing, but there's something about it that touches everyone's hearts in a different way, I think.
I think they managed to create, you know, familiar emotions within their games and an innocence that people's, you know, like a timeless love.
Yeah, that's that homecoming feeling.
Definitely. Yeah. Whereas, not to diss Sony or Microsoft, but they're more businessy.
there's definitely that element.
It's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, not to bring anyone down, but Nintendo really do, have the heart of the fans.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, actually, I remember,
Yeah, go on.
Like I remember at Rare, they used to always say, you know, we make a toy. It's a toy. We're a toy, like a toy company. We make a, you know, we're not too concerned about the console being mega powerful or having multiple functionality and all that. It's more about, it's a games machine. We're making a games machine for people. Like, you know, they're really adamant about that. And like, you know, they can equally be completely right, it's completely wrong. So the Wii was amazing, the Wii U not so much. But they were getting there, you know. And then when you get to the Switch, it's just so brilliantly fantastic. And they're not scared to innovate. No. Like, I feel like when I was working at Rare and Microsoft owned us, I don't feel like there was any innovation. They just copied somebody else. Or they brought out the Kinect thing because Nintendo had one. You know, it's a bit like that. You know, I kind of feel that Nintendo, and in some respects, they might be right. Like, you know, Nintendo do take risks and sometimes they fail.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like...
But they're always trying.
Yeah.
Striving towards something.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, what a brilliant idea the Switch is, right? I mean, you get the, you know, the practically near same game quality on the go. I mean, what a fantastic idea. And you stick it back in the dock and it's back on the telly and it's, you know, like, it's just a brilliant gadget, right?
You Every know, time but, I've got know, it in my hands, I can't believe, actually, that they've managed to fit that in sometimes. Yeah. Mm. Playing Smash Brothers with all these characters and stages and music. And
one more extra character now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's two more to go. Yeah, two more to go, right? So, who's next, you know?
Yeah, there's still a lot of who's next in, Dale. The unrevealed characters.
You Grant, know? Have you got any characters you would like to see in Smash? Now that yours has been revealed.
Joanna Dark. Let's get Joanna Dark in.
Yeah, that would be a good one. That would be a good one. I've seen some pictures of you yourself.
What, fat bloke from London.
Oh yeah, there's some special moves there, I think. Yeah, definitely.
I could definitely do a good fart, I reckon. That would
be joining Warrior.
That'd be your save move to get back on the map.
Yeah. fish and chips in the face.
Right, But speaking of all the fan support, it's been really going off in the chat. There's a lot of people in here who absolutely love you, and they're all actually saying how excited it is to see you live. So that's lovely, just for this show. So Grant,
I tell you what, think about that. I'm not the kind of bloke that likes the ego thing, right? I don't like that at all. I just think I'm a bloke that writes tunes and people like them now and then, which is brilliant, right? So I really. Having people that follow me and tweet at me, it never gets old on me, that. I mean, I'm honest about that. It never gets old on me. I just kind of go, bloody hell, there's someone there's taking the time to type something, you know. And if I've got time, I will reply. Like, you know, I really don't take that lightly at all. Like, I really find that, you know, I think I would say, like, for a composer, to have one person that likes a piece of music, something that come out of your head, that's amazing, right? Mm. And to have a few people that like me stuff, it's like, you know, that never gets tired on me. I always think that's just a really super special thing that I'm super grateful to have, and it's very humbling, you know. So I always try to get across that fact that I'm not an egotistical wanker. I try not to be, you know. I don't like to be like that. I like to just be that, a normal bloke like everybody else, you know. So it was just right. It's my living's making music, your living's digging the roads. I don't think it's any different, you know what I mean? So I really appreciate that. And so thank you, all those people are saying nice things about me, because I really try hard to be nice back.
No problem. They're all saying that they love you, and we'll be celebrating Banjo a little bit more right now, because we're going to listen to Banjo Land, actually, from Nuts and Bolts, which is that super mega medley.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if you noticed, it's that concert. We just announced a concert yesterday called
I meant to bring that up.
Yeah, in LA in October. So it's me and Austin Wintry, Lena Rain from Celeste, Jake Kaufman. Oh, I forget the oh Christ.
Is Laura Shikihara?
Yes, that's, I couldn't think of how to pronounce the name. And so we're all doing this. We get like 20 minutes each, and I am going to do Banjo Land at that gig, because it's a great medley of all the banjo stuff, you know, stuck together. So we're going to be doing that live at that concert. I'll do some. I'm not sure what to pick else as well as that, but I'll be doing that one for definite for live. Yeah,
absolute classic. We've just had people wanting to thank you now again. Thank you for the whole childhood soundtrack.
I'm very honoured to be part of it, so thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. And again, thank you for the call in, Grant, and we'll stay in touch, as always.
Anytime, James, no trouble. Give me a shout.
Will do.
Good luck with the concert, Grant. I hope it goes banging, man.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, we'll have to see what we have. I'll be headbanging to me on Suffolk.
Why not?
Yeah, well, we'll check in with you on that one, probably, come October.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be cool. Let's do that.
All right, then. Well, have a good day, Grant. See you later.
Great to talk to you, man.
Bye for now.